Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Invite you to continue to remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and those watching in from home or anywhere else, invite you to stand wherever you are and receive and honor the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, as we look at the fellowship in Acts chapter 2, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see today what it was and how, Lord, the fellowship applies for us this morning. May this be of great help to this church. And Lord, may it serve to the honor and worship and praise of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In what I'm calling the first church series, so far we have seen that the church is the assembly of those who were saved, Acts 2:38 through 40. We have seen that they were identified as saved by water baptism, Acts 2 verse 41. And we have seen that they were devoted to the teaching, the doctrine of the apostles, Acts 2 verses 42 and 43. Today we see that they were devoted to the fellowship. And it's interesting that that is the word that is used. Do you know? Even though the day of Pentecost in 32 AD was the first day of the church age, sometimes it's called the birthday of the church, Do you know, in this passage, the word church does not appear. You don't see the word church in this passage. Now, that will come later, and that is definitely what it was, but the word isn't used here. Well, what word is used? The word that is used is the fellowship. The fellowship. Te koinonia. The fellowship. And that's what we're looking at today. If you glance carefully at verse 42, you see that these new believers were continually devoting themselves to four objects. Four objects. The first one is what we looked at last week. The teaching of the apostles. The definite article is used. The teaching. It's specific doctrine. Specific teaching. And we talked about that last time. You see in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the fellowship. And the word the is there in the Greek text. They weren't devoting themselves to fellowshipping. They were devoting themselves to the fellowship, a very specific thing, the fellowship. And they were devoting themselves to the breaking of bread. And that's what we will look at, Lord willing, next time. And they were devoting themselves to the prayers. The word the should be in front of prayer, and the word prayer should be plural. To the prayers, and we'll be looking at that in a couple weeks, Lord willing. So we're looking at the second of these four objects, the fellowship. And we want to learn what that is and what it's about. Now, in our verses, which we've read, we can observe three characteristics of their devotedness to the fellowship. These three characteristics we want to observe, and we want to reproduce. We cannot reproduce the conditions of the Jerusalem church. We can't. I mean, for one thing, we're not in Jerusalem. Okay? For another thing, they were meeting in the temple, and the temple has not even been there since AD 70. So we can't reproduce those exact conditions, and we have living conditions that in some ways are very different from them. Not one of them drove a car to the temple. Okay? They didn't have a parking lot. Okay? We're not trying to reproduce the conditions. We couldn't, and we shouldn't. But we should reproduce the characteristics. So, the characteristics of their devotedness to the fellowship. The first of these characteristics I'll call galvanized gathering. They gathered, and they gathered together as a galvanized group. You see in verse 42, their devotion, continually devoting themselves not only to the apostles' teaching, but continually devoting themselves to the fellowship. And we looked at that word for devotion, continually devoting, last time, and saw that it means adhering to strongly or persisting with strong attention. They were adhering strongly to the fellowship. They were persisting with strong attention to the fellowship. Just like they were adhering to and persisting in the apostles' teaching, they were adhering to and persisting in the fellowship. Now again, like we saw last time, observe the new desire of their faith. Just like they had not been told to come back the next day to listen to the apostles' teaching, but they did. Why? Because they had that desire placed in them by the Holy Spirit. They were not told to gather. They weren't told to gather daily. They weren't told to gather at all. Well, then, why did they do it? In their salvation, just like in your salvation, is the desire placed there by the Holy Spirit for you to be together with other believers of common faith. That desire is there. The command to gather doesn't appear here. In fact, when you search the New Testament, you realize that the command for believers to gather together wasn't given until 30 years after this. But they were already doing it. Why? That was placed in them by the Spirit of God. And again, observe their new childlike humility in their faith, like they were humbling themselves before the apostles. Here, they are gathering with others of many different nations. Chapter 2, verse 5 said that, remember? Many different nations. They're not gathering together because it was a sociological construct. Like, we all know each other and we all like each other, so let's get together and start a church. That's not what happened at all. This was the work of the Holy Spirit in them. They didn't say, as church growth supposed experts say today, well, a church should all be the same. People should all be the same in terms of their culture and ethnicity and color and all of that. Well, they weren't. They weren't at all. They weren't at all. They were from all over the world. So they were humbling themselves before each other. What is this? The identity of the fellowship. Te koinonia. The basic idea of koinonia is in common. Having things in common. This was the group who had salvation in Christ in common with each other. And that had happened by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who is poured out on the day of Pentecost. It is in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, Jesus telling his apostles, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what occurred on the day of Pentecost. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, I know it's not in your notes, we'll come back to it next time. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 talks about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. For with one Spirit you are all baptized into one body. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what made them part of the body of Christ. It's what made them individually part of this church. The Holy Spirit did it. The Holy Spirit brought them together and gathered them so that they had this desire and longing to be with one another. The gathering of the fellowship we see in this passage. Look at verse 44. Acts 2:44. And all those who had believed were together. All those who had believed were together. All those who had what? Believed. They were the saved. And they were what? Together. Not one of them said, "Oh, I'm grateful for the salvation I received the other day, but now I want to go and be with a different group of people." They were together. Acts 2:46, they were together daily. Day by day. Day by day, continuing with one mind, breaking bread from house to house, taking their meals together. Daily. Say, well, how often was this group supposed to gather together? I don't know, but make sure it's not for more than 1 hour on Sunday morning. No, they did it every day. Okay, that's not idealistic. I'm not making it up. It's there in your Bible. Day by day, every day, they gathered. And they gathered, verse 46, also from house to house. Not only in the temple, which, by the way, the temple was not their, quote, church building, unquote. The temple was a public building in Jerusalem. It wasn't designed to be their church building. It wasn't. Well, they came there for the apostles' teaching and other things, but where did they go to spend time with each other and relate to each other? They went to each other's houses. House to house. We'll see more about that. So that's the galvanized gathering. Galvanized by the Holy Spirit of God into a people who desire and long to be together. They long for the teaching of the word, yes, but they long to be together. And therefore, they were. That's a characteristic to be reproduced. That is the way the church is to be now. Yeah. Second characteristic of their devotedness. Grounded growth. This is all grounded in the teaching of the apostles. And we saw that last time. Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And remember, the apostles' teaching came from their spending 3.5 years with Jesus and listening and hearing Him. Their teaching came from Jesus' lips. Their teaching came even from Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to them, where He instructed them. And their teaching came to them by the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, causing them to remember everything Jesus had taught them. So, we could spend even more hours just on that point, but I'll just ask this morning, would that not at least include something very important that Jesus taught them? John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus Himself said, "A new commandment I give to you." Now, is that important? Do you think the apostles would have taught this? Jesus gave us a new commandment. Here it is. That you love one another. That you love one another. Now they could have asked, well, what's so new about that? That was in the Old Testament, that we love one another. Okay, here's what's new about it. The new commandment is not love your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment is love one another even as I have loved you. Love one another like Jesus loves. That's the new commandment. That you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How will people know that the apostles, that the early church, how will people know that they have Jesus and they're learning from Jesus? How will they know? Others will not know by, well, let's have an organized program and invite everybody to come. Others will not know by, well, let's have some kind of an event or a Bible study or something. No. How will others know? By the visible love that Jesus' people have for one another. If others cannot see that you love each other, they cannot know that you have Jesus. Jesus said that. John chapter 15. Beginning at verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." The love of Jesus is sacrificial, isn't it? Lay down his life for his friends. "You are my friends since you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master's doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another." I just ask you, don't you think in the apostles' day by day teaching to this new church that the apostles would have at some point referred to these two passages that we've just read in John? I don't see how they couldn't have. This love one another command is the basis for all of the one another statements of the New Testament, which we've studied many times, and we're not going to review them today. There would not be any one another statements in the New Testament if Jesus had not given this command for us to love one another. That's the teaching of Jesus. It's the teaching of the apostles. And they're grounded in it. So why are they gathering together? Well, it's important that they love one another, isn't it? Yeah. Now, grounded in that teaching of the apostles, they are growing daily in one mind, Acts 2:46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. They're growing in one mind. Now, we talked last time how that being of one mind was as a result of the apostles' teaching. And it was. Today, we want to expand on this. One mind, it's actually one Greek word, homothumadon. And thumadon has to do with passion or interest or desire. It's often translated one accord, and here one mind. But don't just take one mind as, okay, they were of one mind or of one accord because, hey, look, they all agreed with each other. That's not even the point of this. What did they have? They had, all of them, the same interest, the same passion, the same desire. They had the mind of the Spirit. They had the mind of the Word. They had the mind of salvation. They had the mind of love taught to them by Jesus. Of one mind. They're growing in this. So day by day, do you know what? Tomorrow, they will want to be together more than they wanted to be together today. Yeah. And with one mind, verse 46 and continuing into verse 47, because the beginning of verse 47 is actually the end of the sentence that begins in verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. With one mind, praising God, glorifying and praising God, gathering together, and growth in the Word generates worship. Gathering together and growth in the Word generates worship. Do you know, true worship and true praise cannot be externally produced. It must be from the working of the Spirit of God within you. It is a byproduct of oneness in Christ. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind. There's our word. Of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord, there's the word again, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. If you're accepted by Jesus, then accept others who are accepted by Jesus. That's the fellowship. And it generates praise. It generates worship. So, a galvanized gathering, experiencing grounded growth, grounded in the Word. And the third characteristic, generous giving. Generous giving. Verse 44, Acts 2:44. All those who had believed were together and had all things in common. In common, it's the root of the word koinonia, koina. They were sharing. They were sharing everything. They even, verse 45, sacrificed property and possessions to meet the needs of the assembly of the saved. Verse 45, they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them all as anyone might have need. And they were doing this. It was not required. The apostles never told them, now go sell off some of your property. It wasn't required. But they were doing it. In Acts chapter 4, we see more detail about this. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And just follow with me through this because we should point out a few details. The congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. Okay? None of them was walking around saying, that's mine. That's mine. They weren't claiming that. But they all shared all things in common. New American Standard says all things were common property to them. But I should tell you, the word property is not in the Greek text. The point here is not that nobody owned anything. The point is they all shared everything. Okay? This was not communism. They all shared all things in common. Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. What was happening? Day by day, they were coming to the temple. They were enjoying one another. They were obviously bringing others along with them. And the apostles found that they had more and more people to preach to every day. Now, how did that happen? It happened because everyone was loving one another. That's how it happened. There was no program. There were no methods. The only method was love. So the apostles continued preaching. Verse 34. There was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Again, they were never told to do that either. But they did it. They were sharing. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they're doing this day by day, voluntarily. This obviously was not communism, nor did they sell all their houses and set up a commune to live in. And they weren't doing it. Some have interpreted this as they were doing it because they believed Jesus was coming back any moment, so they wanted to divest themselves of all their property and be waiting for Jesus to come back. No, that is what cults do. That's not what they did. That's not what they did. They obviously, in verse 46, still had houses. Otherwise, they could not meet from house to house, could they? Yeah. This was a communal sharing. Sharing as with anyone who had need, so that chapter 4 says there weren't any needy people among them. Remember, people from all over the planet had shown up in Jerusalem for Passover and Pentecost. By now, some of them probably didn't even have a place to stay. They didn't have food. There was no program on day one or two of the Jerusalem church to feed people. There wasn't. There was no committee set up. There was no organization. They just loved each other and helped each other. You know, my house is your house. Let's share. They consciously, deliberately focused on those of the assembly of the saved. Verse 44 says, all those who had believed had these things in common. That was their focus. Their priority of sharing their homes, their food, their money, everything. Their priority was on the believers who were part of the same assembly that they were part of. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul said it. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Especially, priority should be to love and care for fellow believers. The church is not designed to be an institution of socialism. The church is not here for the community. The church is not here to care for and meet and supply the needs of the community. The church is here to care for and meet the needs of the saved. You know what? That has been so twisted in your culture that people even go so far as to suggest that if a church is not here as a social institution for the good of the community, it doesn't have a right to exist. Doesn't mean that we cannot and should not help the community and help others. But this kind of love and focus is upon one another. It's very important. So this is not communism and it's not socialism. They did maintain their own private property, but they shared it. And they sold some of it. And nobody had to sell any of it. Acts 2:46. They shared meals together daily, from house to house. Now we'll come back to the breaking of bread next time. But in addition to the breaking of bread, they shared meals together. Daily. From house to house. This was not dependent on the apostles. Nobody set up a schedule. Nobody said, now on this day you'll go to this house, and on this day you'll go to this house. No, they just did it. They saw the people, they saw the need, and they did it. Gathering at the temple to hear the apostles' teaching led to gathering from house to house, where they were sharing everything. This was the church life. See, what was church life and where did it happen? It happened in homes. And it still should. It happened in homes. House to house. Say, well, who was the leader? The answer was, nobody was the leader other than the Holy Spirit. The leader was love. The leader was sharing. Nobody was saying, well, I don't want to go to his house. I want to go to his house. They were together. They were led by the Spirit of God. I say, there are conditions in Jerusalem that we can't reproduce. But you know what? These characteristics can be reproduced and should be. It's intended to be fluid. A lot of these people from all over the world eventually would go home. They didn't just stay in Jerusalem the rest of their life, and they were not intended to, because Jesus himself said they were all supposed to do what? Go. They were all supposed to go. As they were together, it was not long before persecution hit. It was not long before selfishness hit and the desire to have the credit hit. It was not long before complaining hit. And you know, every time one of those things hit, somebody said, well, we need to figure out a new strategy for this. And the more new strategies they began, the less the church functioned like the church was created to function. Yeah. So they were designed to be going. They had to be going and to remain fluid. Otherwise, you can become too ingrown. And what happens? Pretty soon there's complaining and all of this. But they weren't having that problem. Do you know why? They were bringing new people into their homes every day. Every day. And those people were coming along with them to the temple. Every day. More and more people. Every day. Why isn't the church growing? Why aren't people reaching people? Why? Well, here's what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So you answer why. Heavenly Father, as we consider this great truth, we thank you that you have, by your Holy Spirit, saved us, brought us together, placed within us the desire to be together. And Lord, now cause us to reproduce that in love for one another.